Well, good morning, everyone. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you have had a blessed week in the Lord this past week. It's so good to get together with the family of faith, with the body of Christ, whether it's virtually or face-to-face. Sure, I've been missing you guys the last month or so. I can't believe that this is our fifth Sunday doing this virtual time together. But if you're on, I want you to greet someone right now. If you see some people logging on right now and making comments, please greet them. Also, I think you know how to do this, but I'm going to start off by saying, God is good. And then you post all the time. Are you doing it? And then I'm going to say, and all the time. And then you guys respond by saying, God is good. Amen. So let's greet one another with a virtual high five and a holy handshake virtually, and know that this is the day the Lord has made. It's so good to be with you. Hey, listen, I want to tell you a couple of funny things here. Kelly and I were driving through the neighborhood the other day and saw in a business area, saw a restaurant. You know, restaurants are really trying to get people's attention and get business to come their way, and one of it I thought was pretty clever. It posted a sign that said, free roll of toilet paper with every $25 purchase. I thought, that's brilliant. You wouldn't have seen that a month ago, but all of a sudden, it's a great selling point to draw people in. So I thought that was pretty great. You know, it seems like that the news that we're hearing these days is nothing but stressful and bad news. There was a wife who turned to the husband one day and said, well, dear, do you want to watch the 6 o'clock news and get indigestion, or do you want to watch the 11 o'clock news and get insomnia? There's a lot of bad news out there, but I want to give you some praise reports. I want to give you some good news. You ready? Pastor Joseph, Pastor Matt, and myself make calls to all of the congregants throughout the week just to see how things are going, if we could pray for them and all that. Want to encourage you that God is still on the throne. Had someone tell me that out of the blue that they got a $1,300 bonus this week. The Lord just blessed them with that from their job. While people are being unemployed all across the United States, God is blessing His people. I got a call actually from the Assemblies of God headquarters in Springfield this week. They're making phone calls to all the pastors, and the lady that called me, we were talking for a little while, and she said, you know, there's reports from pastors and churches all across the United States where God is blessing, God is sustaining, God is coming through. He's keeping His people right in the palm of His hands. Aren't you thankful for that, that in the midst of everything that goes on, that as God's people, we can know that He's taking care of us. Even to the point of little things like this, I was speaking, relatively speaking, little things. It was a big deal to this person that I spoke to this week. She asked if I would pray for their little dog that was not feeling well. She had lost her appetite. She was losing a lot of weight. She was lethargic. We prayed. A couple of days later, she responded back and said, praise the Lord. Our dog is eating and jumping around again and everything as well. And I just say, praise God that God answers prayer and He cares for everything from the pandemic to our personal situations where even a member of our family, our dogs and our pets need a touch from the Lord, and God heals and hears our prayers. Isn't that good to know? So, hey, listen, I'm just wanting you to know that ministry still continues. Lives are still being changed and touched. I want to thank again those that contributed and did all that they did for the grab-and-go bags for the police officers in Rock Hill. We got a thank you note from Chief Watts from the Rock Hill Police Department, a letter saying thank you. It was such a blessing. It was such an encouragement. And so all of us doing our part, whether we do it corporately or whether individually with opportunities that we have, just keep being Christ to people. Amen. Well, let's open up in prayer as we begin our time here today. Father, I thank you for everyone that's logged in and for those that maybe are going to be watching this later on repeat. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be with us now as we go through this time together, as we gather around the virtual campfire of your word and warm ourselves up with the glow of it and the power and the strength and the guidance that your word gives us. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this time, and I thank you, God, that you're here to minister to us and through us for your glory. Let your word come alive to us today, and may we apply it to our lives in a very practical and profound way, and we ask these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, as I said last week, we're going to begin a series starting today entitled The End Times Survival Guide. The word survival kind of sounds like we're just barely making it, but I want to just kind of change the word from survival, that we're not just surviving, but we're thriving. We're not just outlasting, but we're overcoming. Over the next several weeks, I want to present to you strategies for faith and hope in these uncertain days that we're in, that'll help us to not just crawl over the finish line, barely making it, panting and gasping for breath, but that we would sprint over the finish line with vigor and confidence that we are on the winning side. Amen? You know, survival is big business these days. You see shows like Survivor, which has been on now for about 20 years. It was actually the first of the reality shows that really launched out, and now you've seen all the copycats that are out there. A lot of apocalyptic movies that have been out in the last 10 or 20 years. A lot of video games that are that way too. There's a lot of shows about doomsday preppers, and also there's a lot of equipment and supply retailers that would help us to live off the grid, from powdered food supplies that you add to the water and last a dozen or years or more, to companies, individuals that are tapping into the fear and the anxiety that's so palpable in our generation. You know, the end times seems to be an obsession among the masses these days. As we're nearing the end, which I believe we are, and as we ask the question, are we near the end? Are we in the last days described in the Bible? Is the end times prophecies of these last days about to be fulfilled? Is Jesus getting ready to come back and rapture his bride, the church, in what we know as that catching up, that rapture of the church? If so, if we truly believe this, then it should be clear to us that we should move the underbrush out of our lives, our personal goals, our aspirations, our individual hopes and dreams, and make us prioritize what we must do in the light of this knowledge to prepare ourselves for this once in all of human history, history-altering, twinkling of an eye event. In these last few weeks, we've seen how it's shown that things can change overnight. It's shown us how quickly that those things that we've placed in our lives as pillars and foundations can quickly crumble beneath us. I saw a commercial the other day that proclaimed that one thing that we can count on is a solid foundation in these uncertain times. And I thought, wow, where is this going? And as it was unfolding, this commercial, it wasn't that they were saying that our foundational hope is placed in Jesus. No, that wasn't who they're counting as a solid foundation. It wasn't in God. No, you know what it was? It was science. Science. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not placing my faith or my hope in science. While scientists do a great job, and I'm thankful for them, they've discovered many cures and advances over the years, over the decades. Right now, they're scrambling to figure out this COVID-19 pandemic. But God isn't scrambling around. Aren't you thankful for that? God has got this. And when the scientists, and if the scientists have a breakthrough in this pandemic, it'll be God who gives them the knowledge and the ability to do this. No, my faith and my hope isn't in science. It's in the God of all the universe who has us right here in the palm of his hands. God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than the terrorists. He's bigger than rogue regimes. He's bigger than the national debt. He's bigger than the political divide in our nation and in our world. He's bigger than the growing spirit of Antichrist. He's bigger than the perversions and spiritual indifference that are saturating this generation. God's word said that these things must take place in the last days before Jesus return. And Jesus has given us all that we need to not just survive, but to thrive in these last days. Not just to outlast, but to be more than an overcomer in every plan and design that the enemy throws our way. You know, Winston Churchill said in the darkest days of World War II, "We shall not falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long drawn out vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools and we will finish the job." You know, if you tweak this saying just a bit, we have an exact description of where we are in our battle today. There's no question that the Church of Jesus Christ is locked in a deadly spiritual war. The battle is on multiple fronts. Sitting on the sidelines isn't an option anymore. God has kicked us out of the church building in the last few weeks, hasn't he? It's time to engage. God has given us the tools. He's given us his Holy Spirit. And it's time for us to finish the job, to rise up as the army of God that we are and take up our crosses and put on the full armor of God and go forward in battle knowing that we're on the winning side. While some are preparing physically for the apocalypse, the hoarding of gold, the hoarding of cash, the stockpile of foodstuffs, arming themselves with weapons and ammunition, wouldn't it be wise, maybe even wiser, to prep ourselves spiritually? Over the next several weeks, I want us to look at how we can prep ourselves spiritually, the tools, the truths, the strategies as the end draws near that will help us to not just survive, but to thrive as we look ahead to the soon return of Christ. Are you ready? So here's the first one that I want us to look at this morning, and that is this. Write this down if you're taking notes. The best defense is a good offense. Now, in the military, a strategy is used that says, in essence, that instead of having a passive attitude towards the enemy, in other words, waiting for them to make the first move, to be proactive by having a strong offense that will preoccupy the enemy and ultimately hinder their ability to mount a counterattack. You know, the church has been too passive too long in the battle in which we've been assigned. We've allowed the enemy too much foothold. We've given him a beachhead where he's been able to expand and exploit his evil plans. It's time to go on the offensive. You know, Amazon owns Kindle, their partner companies, and they track what is underlined in the books that people read. Do you know what the most underlined scripture is? You know, you might say, well, it's John 3:16. Or you might say it's maybe Psalm 23. No, out of all the scriptures that are underlined, this is the one that's underlined the most. And it's Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. And this scripture gives us a three-step strategy of how to overcome. I want to read to you this scripture. It's familiar to us. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, we apparently aren't anxious people. We worry about money. We worry about sickness. We worry about relationships. We worry about troubles and trials of all kinds. We worry about things that may happen, usually don't happen, and if and when they do happen, are much milder or uneventful than we've worked up in our minds. Worry produces anxious days, sleepless nights, and continual distractions. Worry saps our strength, dulls our hearts, and leaves us unprepared for Jesus' coming. You know, Jesus even said in Luke chapter 21, verses 34 and 35, watch out. Don't let your hearts be dulled by carousing and drunkenness and by the worries of this life. Interesting that he put those three things together. Don't let the day catch you unaware like a trap, for that day will come upon everyone living on the earth. He knew we'd worry more in the last days because there would be more potentially to worry about. We can't thrive spiritually when we're consumed with worry. So I want us to break down Philippians 4, 6, and 7 today to help us give us the tools and the strategies that we need to overcome our worry and fear and to go on the offensive as we prepare ourselves for Jesus' return and ultimately, hopefully, help others to do the same. First, it says in our text this morning to worry about nothing. Now, that word nothing means nothing. It doesn't say worry about less. It doesn't say worry about just a few. It doesn't say worry about just the big things. It says to worry about nothing. Now, the original Greek for this word worry literally means to divide into two parts. So worry means to be distracted. It means to be divided. It's a mind torn down the middle and pulled in two different directions. The worried mind is restless, filled with tension, and unsettled. Our modern English word comes from an old English word that originally meant to strangle. To strangle. That sounds about right, doesn't it? Worry strangles our peace and it strangles our joy. Worry feeds on life's what ifs. Worry pulls tomorrow's clouds over today's sunshine. Worry lives in the past and the future and robs us of any chance of present joy or peace. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount that God gives the birds what they need to eat and that the flowers are beautifully adorned by him without even toiling. So why do we worry about what we're going to eat or drink or wear? He concludes by encouraging us instead to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. You know, worry is fruitless. Worry is faithless. Worry is the opposite of trust. Worry is actually saying that we don't have a heavenly Father that cares for our needs. It kind of like is saying that I'm all on my own here and no one is going to care about me. You know, you can't say you trust in God and at the same time worry. Those two truths are diametrically opposed to each other. You know, when we worry, we invite along with it discouragement and fear and exhaustion, despair and anguish, hopelessness and pain, obsession, distraction, foreboding, irritation, impatience, none of which are the fruit of or friends of the Holy Spirit living inside of you and me. Worry saps your strength. Worry leaves you spent and stressed out and fuzzies your focus. So why worry? But how can we shake off this worry that keeps knocking on the door of our heart? And that's the second part of the strategy found in our text today, and that is to pray about everything. If worry is the sickness, then prayer is the antidote. Prayer begins with praise and thanksgiving and adoration. When we pray, that's the best way to enter to his presence. The Bible says, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving, and I will enter his courts with praise. Don't go into the prayer times with your I want and I need list. Go in with praise and thanksgiving. And when you do, it'll help to recalibrate your heart and your mind to who God is. His praiseworthiness, his value, his glory, and his place in our relationship with him. You know, God is not some sugar daddy, some Pez dispenser. He's not a vending machine where we punch in a couple of numbers and out pops our blessing. He's our Heavenly Father, who is worthy of praise and glory, not for what he can do for us, but simply just for who he is. When we thank him, we remind ourselves of all that he has done. For what do you have to be thankful this morning, I want to ask you? Is it salvation? I would hope so. Is it healing? Has he touched your life in the past? What about past blessings? What about current blessings? What is it that you have for him to give thanks to him today? When you recount all of his past blessings, it builds faith and trust for the present, and it pushes worry out of our hearts and replaces it with God's peace. As you praise him, as you give him thanks, you can make your petitions known to him with the assurance that he's already aware of all the things that you need and will make provision for you. And as we get near to the Lord's return, the opportunities to worry will increase as things ramp up. We're in the midst of such a challenge even right now. So instead of opting for worry, exercise prayer. As you pray, you'll experience what our text says finally in the last part of it. And that's the strategy of the end time survival guide. And that's this, that we get to dwell in God's peace. There's nothing more comforting in life than to dwell in God's peace. There's few promises more comforting in God's word than the peace that he promises. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You know, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he left behind his peace. He says, peace I leave with you. I'm leaving it here. I'm not going to take it with me. I'm giving it to you. I'm leaving it here with you. You know, don't ask me how he does it, because that peace is unexplainable. But I know from personal experience, his peace that cannot be shaken, that cannot be disturbed, and that cannot be overcome. You know, our text even talks about that his peace is one that guards our hearts. I love that. I just picture this centurion of peace, this insurmountable, impenetrable warrior of peace that's standing at the door of my heart and the door of my mind, and it's turning back doubt. It's pushing back fear and worry and confusion and uncertainty that would try to come my way. You know, God's peace isn't the absence of turmoil and conflict in our lives. You're always going to have that. But what it does do, it gives me the confidence, it gives you the confidence that in all of life's difficult times, that God is in control. Amen? Peace denies entry to the assaults of the enemy. Anxiety cannot crack the divine defense of God. As we hurtle towards the end days, God's peace becomes like a divine SEAL team, providing for us the security and the stability in these times of turmoil and uncertainty. This world is not becoming more stable, folks. It's not becoming more safe. It's not becoming more secure. In fact, it's just the opposite. The Bible says that these things must happen and then the end will come. So the best defense is a good offense. Amen? Let's not just sit back one more minute and let the enemy have our peace. Jesus left his peace for us. So let's reclaim it and let's live in it. Let's not just survive, but let's thrive. Let's not just outlast, but let's be more than an overcomer. Amen? So don't worry about anything. That's what our text says. But instead, pray about everything and trust God's peace to actively guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today that's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path, the truth of what your word is all about, that we dare not worry about anything, but we pray about everything. And we trust you, Lord God, that peace that you've given us, that you've left for us, to actively guard like a centurion our hearts and our minds, Jesus, as you live in us and then as you live through us. And let that peace that passes all understanding not only rule our hearts and minds, but let us take this truth to go on the offensive, to take back that peace that Satan is trying to take from us, that we would reclaim it, and that we would then pass that on to others, Lord God, that are living in turmoil and stress and uncertainty right now. May the peace not only rule our heart and mind, but others as well, as we're able to convey that truth and that hope that we have in Christ Jesus to others. We love you and we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, amen. Well, that's my thought for today. That's the first step in our end time survival guide. Let me give you a few announcements. Don't forget Crossroads today at 2:00 on the Zoom app for those that are the children of Faith Assembly, and those that aren't, that maybe you know that you want to invite them. If you're interested in being part of that, Pastor Matt has got a great time together with the kids at 2:00 today, Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be part of that, just post a little, send a little post and say, hey, I want my kid to be part of that. It'll last about 20, 25 minutes, something like that. And I know they'll have a great time. Also, don't forget the youth are meeting tonight at 6:30. Same thing on the Zoom app. They have a great time tonight for the Bible study. Tuesday night, they do another activity. And Wednesday night, they do another, Thursday night, they do the fun activity together. So come be part of that as well if you want to know more information. Again, post it, and we'll get back with you. Our Life Together groups are meeting throughout the week. People are meeting together virtually and connecting with one another. We're encouraging one another. And I thank you for all the Life Together group leaders that are leading and encouraging one another along. I want to also thank you for your continued faithfulness in giving. Please continue to do so. The bills and the needs of the church are still coming in. We're still supporting our missionaries worldwide who are ministering the gospel in their place that the Lord has planted them. So thank you for your continued contributions and faithfulness and your giving online, dropping it off in the mail, or maybe dropping it off at the church. Next week, we're going to talk about part two, and this is what we're going to talk about. What does it mean to run the race? And I'll give you a little teaser on this. So here it comes. Listen to this. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle and a lion wake up for another day. The gazelle knows it must run or be caught by the lion. And the lion knows it must run to catch the gazelle or it will starve. It doesn't matter whether you're the gazelle or the lion. When the sun comes up, you better be running. So which one are you? We're going to talk about that next week. And Pastor Joseph is posted a link for you to click on for a song that I want you to listen to as we wrap up today. I love the title of this and I love the message of it. The title is Even the Impossible is Possible with God. Next Sunday, we're going to get back together again on Facebook Live, the same format. I know things are starting to possibly open up. We're hearing rumors, some chatter amongst the leaders of the nation about certain things that are going to be opening up. We're going to do this again at least one more Sunday, but stay tuned and we'll see what that looks like for the Sundays after. But next Sunday, we'll see you at 10:30 right here on Facebook Live. And I hope that you'll invite your friends on Facebook to come be part. The Lord bless you. Have a blessed day in the Lord. And we'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.